Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.
The Four Horsemen of Trib Live Radio.
Anytime you see the Four Horsemen together, it's something special.
Ken Laird, Guy Junker, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor.
Jump on the Horsemen one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
The apocalypse for Sports Talk Radio is here.
Oh, that got Rob Rossi going. Ben Roethlisberger not getting his hopes up for the weekend. Rob Rossi's not getting his hopes up about anything. Certainly not the Penguins. Welcome to the Giovanni's Pizza Jagoff of the Week Wednesday Spectacular. Josh Taylor alongside Ken Laird, Tim Benz, Guy Junker. Was Rossi too harsh? He just got a flood of votes on the Pens.
You know what? It's funny because we were going back through some old tape, Ken, because we're feverishly trying to find your Mr. Bigglesworth reference, and we can't seem to find it anywhere, but accidentally, we stumbled across Guy giving pretty much the exact same rant about how everything in the organization is stale. Everything is the organization.
Well, Guy didn't say Crosby's got to go and they'll never win a cup and it's, you know, it's over.
I don't think he said Crosby had to go either. He said they never win a cup with these two, that they would have to make a trade of at least one. And I don't think they'll make a trade of at least one until the sale is done.
No, I think that's a certainty.
I can give a jag on vote, though, can't I?
Sure.
For somebody. How about Jeff Zatkoff, who, if he doesn't make it as the Penguins' backup goaltender, can clearly make it with the Pittsburgh Chamber of Commerce. Did you see the quote that he had today in Jason Mackey's piece?
No.
I love this city, Zatkoff said. I grew up in Michigan, but I feel like it's a nicer, cleaner Michigan. Can't you see that as you come through the Fort Pitt tunnel,
that, yeah.
Get onto the bridge, and there it is. Welcome to Pittsburgh,
a nicer, cleaner Michigan.
Always nice to compare a city with a state as well. That's
yes.
A great reference.
I don't know if that's a compliment for Pittsburgh or a dig at it.
I'm not sure. Nicer, cleaner Michigan.
That could be as much of an insult as it could be a compliment.
He's not going to be welcome back to Michigan, I guess.
Well, what's not cleaner than Detroit?
Michigan, almost as nice as Pittsburgh.
Where are you going today, Josh Taylor? We've got a Guy Junker, Greg Hardy campaign, which is going well. My Scott Schaefer concussion quarterback, put him back in, is not going so well. And Tim...
middle of the pack?
Yeah, you're Fox TV, right?
Is that yeah, your, Fox TV your... was mine.
They're in the race. Well, we can sway this thing a lot of ways.
If I could have found the audio from the time you said it, I could have put together a stronger case for Ken.
For the Prairie
Dog? I could
dog.
Have done it for the Prairie Dog thing. Because that just seems like a cardinal sin to a movie aficionado like myself. However.
By the way, Austin Powers wins at the end. Another spoiler alert.
And then we find out they're brothers. What? Anyway, in light of the recent news we just heard about D'Angelo Williams getting fined for the fine to cure and the cancer, the pink cancer ribbon on his eye black,
right?
And Will Gay getting fined for wearing his purple shoes for domestic violence awareness.
That's breaking news, right? I mean,
pretty much, yeah. I
think we just found out about Gay today.
$5,700 for wearing his purple shoes last October for domestic violence awareness. I think this is like the second time in 3 weeks I made this vote, but I got to vote the NFL again. Way to continually miss the mark. The NFL continues to put this message out that they're telling their players, look, we only want to appear as though we care about certain things. We only want to appear as though we care about certain causes. We're allowed to show that we care about causes even if we don't, but you're not allowed to openly show that you legitimately care. Whether it affects you or not. And if you show that you legitimately care outside of our rules that just show that we care, then we're going to find you. We're going to keep hitting you in the wallet until you stop showing that you legitimately care about what we only allow you to show that you care about. That's the message the NFL is sending. And it couldn't have come from a more tone-deaf and more callous organization.
When they handed me the pin with the pink ribbon on it at whatever game that was, I think that was in San Diego, I refuse to put all these media guys strutting around with it on their jackets. I'm like, I'm not putting this on because you say today's the day I'm allowed to strike out against cancer.
You know what? You know what charities and nonprofits hate the most?
Well, no, it's a small thing, but I'm just agreeing with the thought process of of one no, I like Jerome it. Harris.
Nonconformist.
But you know what people that are in charge of charities and really and legitimately support causes, you know what they hate the most? People who pretend to support those causes to suit their own benefit. That's what the NFL is doing. They're only pretending to do it for a certain period of time so people can think they care and take the focus off the other stuff that they've done that make them look like a so tone-deaf and callous organization.
Well, it's kind of funny that, you know, the William Gay thing comes on the heels of one of the owners endorsing Greg Hardy as a leader.
Isn't it ironic as hell?
But it's not just what – it's not limited. The NFL isn't just limited this week to that stuff, the fine stuff, the incongruous thinking when it comes to the charitable organizations that you bring up. How about them apparently lying about the Jags-Bills numbers? Did you see that story that the –
It wouldn't surprise
the
me.
The streaming was exaggerated.
It would not surprise me.
The NFL announced it did screw up the Baltimore-Arizona receiver call. It's proceeding still with the Deflategate brief and dragging this on forward. It's just there's a lot with the NFL.
And there's one.
Yeah, the referee was distracted, he said he didn't see the receiver eligible.
And there's one consistent theme with all of it. A lot of it starts at the top. And you know they won't. You know why they won't remove the guy at the top? Because he's making all the people that stand to make money a buttload of money. That's why they're not getting rid of him. What do we care if we look bad as long as we're getting rich?
Well, the NFL That's over the last 2 years is kind of a model that other people should look at. When you concern yourself so much with optics, people see that you're looking at optics. When you make it that obvious that it's about how it looks, people understand you're only caring about how it looks. It takes a while, but people understand. Now, they stopped watching? No. So I guess they don't care. But image-wise, the shield is very tainted.
Well, how about Cabali points out Hayward and William Gay got fined on road games, not for the home games, which I guess speaks to the Heinz Field enforcement is not very good, but also it's just how's the optics there that in one stadium something's illegal and another it.
So you can get away with it at your own home stadium, but you can't on the road because the guy from the other team's stadium is going to come after you for it?
Pretty much.
How two-faced is that? That's ridiculous.
I'd love to see how often Baltimore Ravens are fined by Edmund Nelson, but the Steelers aren't. Because that's him,
true.
Right? That's Edmund's job. He's the uniform cop.
He's one of two. They have one for each sideline. Yep.
Okay. Next thing you'll tell me, the guys from the home team weren't fined for it and the guys from the away team were. Then I'll really know the jig is up.
How about this from Florio on Pro Football Talk? When the league first disclosed $33.6 million in connection with Sunday's worldwide live stream of the Bills and Jags, the BS meter should have begun to blare. Not long after that, the league reeled back its proclamation of $33.6 to $15.2.
How do you get it that wrong?
Million unique viewers for the Yahoo only, except in Buffalo and Jacksonville broadcast. But even that number is grossly exaggerated. Commissioner Goodell said on ESPN Radio over 15 million people were viewing the game. The true number, however, is much lower. Apart from the fact that any calculation of unique visitors includes multiple people who dialed up the game from multiple devices, with a viewer who clicked on the game from a computer, a tablet, and a cell phone device, counting as three, not one, the apples-to-apples comparison to the way TV ratings are determined reveals a much lower audience.
Wouldn't surprise anybody that they've inflated these numbers. Yahoo did. The NFL did. It's in their best interest. That makes the obvious money sense. You follow that trail up the line. Rob in Richmond says, give me Rossi. It's not even that I necessarily disagree with what he's saying about the Penguins, but it's the smug, insufferable way he says it and all his evidence to the contrary assertion that as a media member, he, quote, doesn't want to be part of the story. Ha! That's the most hilarious thing I'll hear all week. You jag off.
Let me get this straight. He doesn't disagree with what Rob said, but it's the fact that Rob said it and how he said it.
Pretty much.
Not the most backwards thing I've ever heard.
Brad says, give me Rossi. I don't like to be lectured on why I shouldn't be a Pens fan. Just like he didn't mention just winning the division and making the playoffs wasn't good for anyone involved, and Bielsma's postseason underachieved justified his firing in Shiro as well. Sorry if he doesn't want to hear that.
Wait, did he say people shouldn't be fans of that team? I didn't hear that.
Kevin in J-Town, good thing I listened to Rossi. Now I don't have to waste my time watching a train wreck of an organization again. I'll just wait for Benz to tweet it out, updates to ruin the game for me.
Email of the day!
If Greg Hardy doesn't knock the tablet out of his hand before
he
tweets
right. Greg Hardy is going to hit me with it first.
That might be the email of the day. That was good.
Quick update, the Pens are losing 2-0 after one period against Washington.
Anthony, I had somebody in the Dallas game last week send me a tweet complaining that all my tweets about the Penguins were too negative. How about something positive?
Well, how about they do something positive?
And I said, it's not 3-0 yet. It was 2-0 at the time, and I barely got it out.
How are you supposed to come up with something positive if positive things aren't happening? We can't just make shit up. That's not how this works.
Mm.
Anthony in the UK defends Rob. I like listening to him. He's opinionated, doesn't sugarcoat it, says how it is. Mike says he thinks he wasn't harsh enough on the Penguins. So, and Jason in the Bird says that's jag possible. On to Rossi. I don't know how he didn't go far enough. Jason says Rossi is Rossi. Everything he said is true and will happen.
Rossi is Rossi.
This email from Matt, he says, Tim, at least you didn't ruin Walking Dead for Tomlin because, as we know, he doesn't pay attention to social media. That's a good point.
He doesn't play the Tim Benz social media game.
But you did get another vote from Billy who says...
Well, then here's a note for Tomlin. Kansas City wins.
From Billy B. Tim, you've got to have a 24-hour grace period with spoilers. Okay. Don't talk about things from 10 years ago and compare them to things that happened a few hours ago. Apples to oranges comparison.
Well, I'm doing that out of pure sarcasm. But I don't know. What's the line to be drawn here? So... South Park, for instance. Like, I watch South Park. If I tweet something funny that South Park says, am I ruining it for everybody? Or is it just the dramas? Is it the dramas that I have to stay away from? How does the 24-hour rule apply?
It's a good question, because there's people
just
that
twist endings.
There are people that tweet about shows as they're happening all the time.
Tweet out a lie about it at the end of something.
That's a good idea.
And then when someone watches it, they'll be like...
Wait a minute, he said...
Well, the irony of this is, and this is in no way in defense of Tim's, because somebody...
I might do that next time after all this.
Like
that's
idea.
A good idea.
Yeah.
What's the next big series that's going to end?
Red herrings you're throwing out.
I don't know. What's the next big series or show that has a twist ending?
they all just started.
Penguins, first round of the playoffs.
Bucktober or the Penguins, yeah.
Well, what's the show with the nerds and Kelly Kyoko?
Oh, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. What if, the final episode of Big Bang Theory, I said, I can't believe they had group sex on CBS. I can't believe they had a three-way with Kelly Kyoko. Can you believe that?
You should just come up with a bunch of false predictions. Go hashtag Tim Ben spoiler alert.
Why did he hit her in the back of the head with that frying pan? That seems so unlike him.
Chris and Boulder, you guys are all jagoffs for spending so much time talking about how a stupid TV show ends during sports talk radio. Have a good Wednesday.
Well, that's kind of my point. Well, that was my point entirely.
But wait a minute. Well, who brought the topic up? You guys.
Well, technically we are jagoffs, just not for that reason. There's usually better reasons to classify us as jagoffs, and there are plenty. Mm-hmm.
Troy in Florida says, I'm going off the board here, guy, with an NBA vote. I know this won't be popular, but give me LeBron James. I guess I'm just not used to the new age athlete that decides he's going to be the one who runs the entire show. It was a story at ESPN about how the first practice – he took over, and how is Blatt supposed to be the coach under these circumstances? That's our first and maybe only NBA vote of the day.
Well, that's a fair question, yeah. And my answer would be this. The Cavaliers hired him, so...
They hired him to be a pincushion like Goodell, though, didn't they? I mean,
there you go. If the Cavaliers had a problem with him doing what he's doing, they wouldn't have hired David Blatt. They would have hired an NBA coach that had experience and maybe even had some respect from LeBron. But no, they did what they did and knew what they were signing up for. So, good vote, though. Good vote.
David Collier. First of all, guys, I was watching Chicago Fire last night with the wife, and the term jagoff was used to describe somebody. I thought it was just a Pittsburgh
thing. No, Chicago uses jagoff, too. I think it's in, let me think. I've heard James Belushi use it.
Jagoff is used in one of my favorite movies. Tim, maybe you've seen this. Confidence with Ed Burns, Rachel Weisz.
No.
Andy Garcia is in it, Dustin Hoffman. Jagoff is used like in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
About last night?
I got to think about that.
What was the movie where Russell Crowe was from Pittsburgh?
Oh, was it The Next 3 Days?
It might have been that.
Yeah.
Here's the reporter.
Yeah, buddy of mine is
he tried so hard to sling a jagoff in there, and it felt so forced. It really did.
Good buddy of mine's an extra in that movie.
That was another. What was the other one that I just? Oh, Daniel Tosh. There's a rerun of Tosh.0 where he called everybody jagoffs. He's from Florida, so I don't really get that. But
Dave says I got to go with the Dallas Cowboys this week. Couldn't happen to a better organization to lose 4 in a row, guys.
Remember when we had Dan Patrick on when he won?
Yeah, he was.
And he says, I know what a jagoff is. I'm from, where's he from? Is
Cincinnati.
He from Akron? Or
Dayton.
Somewhere in Cincinnati. Somewhere in Ohio, yeah. So it's not completely a Pittsburgh thing.
Dave says, Tim, are you saying Fox shouldn't take into consideration Volquez's wife's request not to report the death, regardless of what was said beforehand?
I'm saying that if the rest of the world knew and I was in charge, I would say I would make this part of the story. I would have had my guys talk about it. I'm going to say, sorry, it's on Twitter, it's on ESPN, it's on the radio side. You know, once it got out, I wouldn't have muzzled the guys from talking about it.
Yeah, once it's public knowledge, it's kind of hard to censor your own people from talking about it once it's public knowledge.
Furthermore, my disdain for how they handled it is less about their decision than it was about the preening way that they revealed the news. Of course, as soon as it got out there, it's Ken Rosenthal in the bow tie. Like I said, you know, they didn't want to show Aaron Andrews on camera, but we got to put Ken Rosenthal out there to deliver the message with a stern face.
It was like, it's only real now because we're telling you about it now. That's what makes it real.
Now that we've said it on Fox.
Now that we've said it, it must be true. No.
You know what? Yeah, seriously. Seriously.
No.
Let's think about it. Okay, so then we are to assume that Volquez was shielded from all this, right? Volquez is shielded from all this, but the game broadcast is going to be what tells him. So now that he's out of the game, and he can go into the locker room for sure and see it. Now we're going to talk about it? Then why didn't you just...
They don't want to ruin his performance, I guess.
Okay, but the thing of it is, Ken, then at that point, you know what? If you've decided to go in and this for the sake of altruism and being nice and good vibes and all that, then don't talk about it after he's out either.
Yeah, don't talk about it the whole game.
Issue a press release afterwards.
Yeah, wait till after the game ends, not just when he's done pitching. If you really want to show actual respect for him, then don't mention it during the broadcast at all.
Yeah, that hit,
even after he's done pitching.
In the eighth inning or the seventh inning, whatever, they went to Rosenthal, that hit was more about why we didn't tell you than the fact that his father had died.
Yeah, but I don't know how you could not mention it at all, Josh. I mean, the starting pitcher, game one of the World Series, his dad dies on the day. I mean,
that's what me and Tim are talking about. And the thing was, the bigger part about it is that people knew anyway. People already knew, thanks to social media, thanks to radio reports.
Yeah, I had seen
it. So if that's the case, then you have to talk about it.
I had seen it on the ESPN website, and I was working, so I'm watching some other games, and I'm thinking, did I miss them talking about this? Was it a pregame show and I didn't hear it?
Tim and I are on the same page, because the fact that everybody knew means you should talk about it anyway, but if you're not going to, don't pick and choose when you're not going to. Just do it across the board.
I think there's cause to pick and choose. No, afterwards, he probably was going to be told by his son or his wife as soon as he got off the mound and the performance was over. I mean,
yeah,
why
but they didn't come down to the clubhouse. You know, like, again, where then between the sixth and the eighth inning did Fox get clearance that Volquez has been informed? Or did they just do it because he was out?
My guess would be they did it because he was out.
You know, like, did Mrs. Volquez call Joe Buck or send him a text or what?
Well, the one thing we
there's
can't
too many
really,
unknowns here to weigh in on this.
That, I was about to get to that. The one thing we can't seem to get a grasp on, all of this probably stems from whether or not he knew before the game. That makes it really, that's the key in all this. That's really the Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, if he knew before the game, then they dropped the ball and just didn't know.
Right. If he knew before the game, then all of this is moot. If he did not know, then it's an entirely different discussion, and then all of this becomes valid. But whether or not he knows really is the key to all of it.
Not to be flippant about this, but because of the Marty St. Louis situation, would it have been devastating to him to hear that news before he went out on the mound the day of?
No, it's not flippant. I mean, you look at Brett Favre's Monday night game, I think, against the Raiders on the day his dad died. For some athletes, Volquez's dad did introduce him to baseball. He's the one that got him interested in baseball. 63 is very young by today's standards to die. I think this is kind of a shock. I guess he had some heart issues, but I don't think it was like he was on his deathbed. So, I mean, people perform differently. You sometimes wonder, how do you function like that? Well, that's what these people do, and he may have honored his dad more by going out and, you know, if they'd have told him before the game, he might have performed even better. It might have been the impetus to, as you said, the Marty St. Louis. I don't think that's flippant.
That's like Anthony Zeno. Was he found on, the day before he had to play that game? Was it, I forget who he played against for Penn State. I think the day before he found out that his dad passed away, and his family makes the trip to University Park, and he plays in the game. It had a pretty good game, too. I mean, that's it's different for different
people. Was this guy sick? Had he been sick for a while, Volquez's dad? Was this like a known thing?
It was heart complications. I think he had heart problems, but I don't know that.
I guess what I'm wondering in part is, how did ESPN come to find out in advance?
If there was a report from the Spanish, somebody ESPN in the Dominican. So they had a source in the Dominican who knew of him or something came from there. So That's how they learned of it.
Like, I'm just wondering, how did it come to pass that Mrs. Volquez was attempting to filter the Fox broadcast, but it went completely unchecked with ESPN and ESPN Radio?
That's another key element, because that changes everything, too, as far as what Fox would decide to do.
Mike in Jacksonville emails, you can't do, sportstalk@tribweb.com. Give me Josh Taylor, who admitted missing a portion of the Steelers-Chiefs game to go to his sister's baby shower this week. Come on, Josh.
Oh, screw me for being excited about my next nephew coming.
That's a good vote.
Good vote my ass. I got a nephew on the way in December. I watched the first three quarters of the game and then
baby
went to my sister's baby shower.
Yeah, you know what? He DVR'd the game. And then somebody
DVR'd and came back and watched the rest of it.
Somebody came to the shower late and said, oh, they're not covering the tight end again, and they ruined everything for him.
I thought baby showers were only for women. I've never been to one.
Actually, this is a baby shower that did involve men. There were men there also, and they actually had games involving the men. It was actually pretty funny.
I'll be honest, they had beer.
I wish they had beer.
Oh, even worse.
Couldn't have had beer.
I went to an alleged Jack and Jill baby shower, and I was assured there would be other guys there. I was the only freaking guy there.
That's terrible. There were about a dozen of
you
us.
You should have left immediately.
I just started kicking myself in the testicles just for the sake of something else to think about.
No. Oh, that's wrong. There were about a dozen of us there. It was funny because they had all the guys come up and, like, for one of the games, we get to stand in the circle in the middle of this room that was all women. And I'm like, I have nightmares that start this way, being in a circle in the middle of a room full of women yelling at me.
I knew the other two guys well, man, and they just freaking bailed. And I called them out for it the next time. I said, you just did that because you didn't want to go. Yep. Well, I went because I thought I was like brothers in arms, you know?
Well,
strength in numbers.
Speaking of brothers in arms, my brother was there. He asked me to come because he was there for the entire time. He asked me to come, so I went in support of him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what I thought I was doing. No man left behind.
No, see, my brother actually stayed the entire time. So I had to support my big brother, and my nephew's on the way. If you don't like it, kick rocks.
John Goodman in Raising Arizona.
Leave a man behind!
Another good movie, by the way.
Oh, I hate that movie.
There was actually a prairie dog.
There was
a prairie
dog
in Raising Arizona.
There was. There was
a lizard?
There was.
Another desert creature.
That's one of the few Nick Cage projects that did not turn out creepy.
Well, there's a lot creepy to Raising Arizona, but it was funny.
Yeah, but Nick Cage wasn't the creepy element.
You know, sneaking the baby back in and, you know, which baby of these random babies am I going to take?
Yeah, most of the creepy Nick Cage movies are because Nick Cage himself is creepy.
Split vote from Jim on the email. Half to the Steelers-Kansas City broadcast team, Tony Gonzalez and Trent Green. What a suck fest that was.
Well, that was
brutal
to
listen to.
That was my first tweet that I sent out after the picture went dark for Fox. I was like, well, at least Tony Gonzalez only works for CBS. Because
that did get weird, didn't it? It got weird. I don't mind the concept of having him in the booth. They were in Kansas City. Tony Gonzalez is, let's be honest, will probably die the greatest tight end of all time. So I don't mind that, but it did get weird.
Well, Jim says they were talking over the play that was going on time and time again. That's Jagoffian. Who produced this, Christian Okoye? It's a good question. Also, half a vote to Joe Buck.
Well, but Lenny Dawson did work in television.
Still does radio, right? He still does play-by-play.
Christian Okoye.
Kendall Gammon is his partner, the former long snapper for the Steelers.
Oh, I love the Christian Okoye reference. That's just awesome.
Buck comes off as pompous no matter if he's stroking Troy Aikman's ego or reminding you how important and knowledgeable he is. He gets half a vote as well. P.S. Glenn isn't dead. Is that a red herring already?
It might be, yeah. I've heard a lot of theories about that, that it wasn't him that died in this pit of zombies or whatever, that he's going to come back. Yeah, how about that? What if he comes back? Do I get to rage on the air against all these people and say, you got all worked up over nothing?
I damn well would. I'd be all over.
Yeah, I think you would have. Yeah,
I'd be losing my damn mind.
You get some support, though. Mark says that, Tim, people who are voting for you get Jagoffs of the Week, as Rossi voted.
It's just such an egocentric approach to life. You have to control your thoughts based on my DVR schedule. What?
That is kind of stupid. You have to remind people it's not about them.
Courtney votes me for arguing with you.
Courtney finds a new reason to vote you every week, though, Ken.
She really does, yeah. Pat and Altoona, give me the female who ended the Tomlin press conference yesterday with the coach. Where does the phrase, the standard is the standard, come from?
That would be Aditi Kingawala.
Yeah.
Although it was funny because of his pause, I don't know, reply. It just seemed like she asked the question to be a smart aleck and not for informational reasons.
Now play the response again.
I don't think a lot about the things that I say, to be honest with you.
No. Aditi did not ask that sarcastically or in any way that he is suggesting. She really wanted to know.
I think she really... That's one of her better questions this year.
And again, it's just a bold-faced lie by Mike Tomlin to say, I don't really think about these things.
Or a bald-faced lie. Bald-faced. Or a bare-faced lie.
Did you say bare-faced lie? Right, Ken?
All correct.
That might have been one of the best discoveries of the day yesterday. I enjoyed that.
Sam says...
Oh, Tim wasn't here for that.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Yep.
It is bald-faced, right?
It's actually all three.
All three. You can use bold-faced, bald-faced, or you can use bare-faced, because originally
it
was bare-faced.
I'm not big on that.
I prefer to say he's full of shit.
He is full of shit.
Or you could just call him a jag-off.
Play the rest of the explanation again for people who didn't hear it, Josh. Play this again, because this just shows the truth more than anything.
I don't think a lot about the things that I say, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to use words to vividly capture the imagination of our guys, so that they can remember the messages, so that they can somehow be ingrained in their mind, so they can somehow make it come alive inside stadiums on the grass. By whatever means we get that done, I'm for it. If they're somehow parroting the things that I say or we say, that means it's getting home, and that's what we seek.
I don't think a lot about the things that I say, except when I plan them out in a vivid
fashion. So that they're repeated and parroted by the... Which is a perfectly good and reasonable response. Just leave out the I don't think a lot about what I say.
This is coming from a guy who actually likes Mike Tomlin. I really think sometimes that he thinks too much into his responses of questions that he's asked. And sometimes he might take it a little bit too seriously. If he would
like Marquise Pouncey yesterday?
Right. If he would have just said, you know what? It's just something I came up with and it just stuck. That would have been a valid answer. That would have worked. And everybody would say, you know what?
I got
what?
It from my college professor.
Right. Or
English
just say,
litter.
A lot of stuff I say is stuff that, you know, my mom says a lot. My grandmother used to say, my great-grandmother used to say. That stuff. I'm like, okay, well, that's where I heard it some more as a kid. If he would have just said, that's something I just came up with and it just stuck, I would have been okay with that. He did not have to go into detail and explain all of that and the purpose that it's used for. And if it's a good thing, if his guys repaired and repeated. Dude, we already know. A lot of us have been covering this for a living. We've heard a lot of goofy, crazy catchphrases over the years. We already get it. You didn't have to take it that far.
But I can
just
tell,
say something I came up with and move on.
I can tell Pat from Altoona. I was 4 feet away from Aditi when she asked that question, and she was 100% sincere about it. She really wanted to know the answer to that.
Sam votes for Ray Lewis for his appearance last week on all the ESPN shows.
Well, how about this ESPN?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's what he said. On the day they're laying off all these people.
His version of If I Did It. That's what I'm calling it. I'm just calling it Ray Lewis's If I Did It.
Yeah, well, I'm bashing Fox here today. How about ESPN for laying off 350 people now in advance so they can keep their profit margins fat so they can have enough money to overspend on all those rights fees that are coming down the pike?
Yep.
That's basically why they're doing this, right?
Supposedly they had bad negotiating with the cable networks, and a lot of cable companies dumped ESPN off packages.
Well, how about the big shots that negotiated the deals get fired? Fire
right.
Two of them and save 348 jobs.
Right, exactly.
How come it never works that way?
There you go.
They'll get a raise.
Yeah, John Skipper is the one that gets to put out the press release, and yet he's the one that signed off on everything.
Mike Johnston gets a vote for not challenging the Nashville goal on Saturday night.
I thought that was big. I don't think we played that up enough. I was really angry about that when it happened, that they didn't challenge that.
That's a great point.
What are you going to the locker room with that in your pocket for?
Have you guys seen the new thing on Twitter with Penguins fans? They call it Johnstoning. They'll just take selfies of like random blank stares.
And it's just, Castle.
Hashtag Johnstoning. I love it. I saw one of those this morning and I laughed out loud. It was fantastic.
Like when your dog poops on the floor, you just stand there. Like I when I had a dog that would poop on the floor, I had that Mike Johnston reaction. Just, oh my God.
Mike says, P.S. Tim, Breaking Bad Season 6 starts filming in December. Try not to ruin the new year for everybody. Is that true?
Breaking Bad Season 6?
But that season was done. Episode, series.
You might be talking about Better Call Saul.
You should put out Apprentice spoilers. Trump fires everybody.
Travis says, reiterate my vote for Benz. I don't participate in social media, therefore it was easy for me to avoid spoiler alerts. I avoided the internet Monday. Solely, you mentioned it on the Trib live stream. Nobody watches anything live anymore except sporting events. Anyway.
That's a definite true.
How about Rich Eisen?
Show I watched live.
I've never seen Rich Eisen's show before, but it's on right now over our shoulder here now that the softball home run hitting exhibition is over.
Well, I'm not a fashion expert. In fact, I get dragged kicking and screaming into what I have to wear for work, but the pocket square with a checked sports shirt under it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, anyway, he's got on his desk a little miniature Dr. Evil. I think that's a sign that Ken, whether or not he has the most votes, it doesn't matter, should win for the Prairie Dog reference. Has Ryan Mallett gotten any votes?
Oh, yet? I had him written down as my second guy, and I never brought him up.
You'd figure being the guy that covered Arkansas, I'd consider Ryan Mallett. That's
you know, missing one flight. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. I remember we went to New Orleans for a Black and Gold primetime when the Steelers played the Saints on Halloween weekend, Sunday night a couple years ago, and John Meyer missed a flight with the whole crew from Channel 4.
I wanted to go on that trip so
they
bad.
They made him pay his own way. So he ended up getting there like an hour after we did. How he got on a flight that quickly and got down there. But this isn't just the only thing. He's been late for meetings. Earlier in the year, he missed a practice. And when he was getting screamed at for that, said, I went out and bought an alarm clock. It won't happen again. And that is such disrespect to the – I mean, one, because when I first heard it, I thought, geez, these guys slept in and they're cutting him just because of that. But this is a series of – issues.
Remember the story I told you yesterday about him being in college? I had a friend of mine that went to Arkansas with Ryan Mallett. He walks in the class for a test and says, who's got a pencil for Ryan Mallett? Because he walked into the test late. This dude, man.
I'm ripping through the votes here. We're about out of time. Greg Hardy got a streak of them here. CBS gets another
great
one.
Response today. Thank you all for participating.
Really. Flyers got a vote. Torts got a vote. Josh got one for not going to the Duquesne-Robert Morris game because it was cold and he stayed home.
It was raining, man.
He was wrapping his gift for the baby shower.
It was cold and raining. And
God, what a namby-pamby weekend for you, Taylor. Baby showers and too cold to go watch Duquesne.
You got to trade in your Yinzer card if you didn't go for fireworks.
Jeez.
Honestly, I should be
get it with your purse stack.
I should be suspended from wearing my red ring for like 6 weeks. I shouldn't be able to wear my red ring for not going to Duquesne-Robert Morris. That's actually a big deal with us.
All right,
I'll accept that vote.
Tally up the votes here.
I'm a bad Duquesne alumnus. But I will I will wear my Duquesne basketball jersey to the city game again, though. That will happen.
Give me a little slack here, Josh. I'm trying to get some coffee.
Idle promises.
Oh, I didn't realize those headsets reached out to the coffee pot. That's about it.
Getting votes today, Trib Live Radio.
That sounds like I didn't know they stacked shit that high.
Mike Johnston, Flyers, Tortorella. Dave Littlefield got one for trading Chris Young, who was the winner of the game last night. That was a good one.
Did Dave Littlefield, was he around when Jag Off of the Week was introduced on the late lamented 1250? Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I bet you he must have won once or twice, eh?
Oh, yeah. He was a borderline emeritus.
Yeah, but he won it after the moves that he made, unlike New Huntington, who wins it before he does anything.
Dallas Cowboys going to vote. Taylor got a couple. CBS in their telecast. Aditi Kinkabwala. The Penguins organization, the media for making Volquez about themselves. A lot of support for people voting for Tim Benz. Ray Lewis, Scott Schaefer, the NFL for the iBlack. Fourth place finish for you, Tim, today. It was a good run.
Fourth?
Fourth place.
How about my supporters or the anti-votes? Were they fifth?
Fifth, sixth-ish, yeah.
Right.
They were hanging around with the NFL.
That's the best. That's the best I've done in Jag Off of the Week for the walking friggin' dead.
Rossi with a third place vote. It was if he had come on at 11, we might have had it. His late appearance saved him.
We would have been able to replay the rant by then.
Yeah, true. We would have. Second place, the Fox Television and all their entities and tentacles, Joe Buck included. And
So my vote came in second.
The telecast, but the winner today and the new Jag Off of the Week replacing John Tortorella, Greg Hardy of the Dallas Cowboys. Guy's pony wins, and
good job, Guy.
Nice job. Just throw it out there. I don't care if mine wins or not.
As Vicky says, this guy will kill somebody eventually. He'll have a cozy cell next to Rod Carruth.
You know what? It's not
it's Ray Carruth.
Ray Carruth.
Yeah.
No, Rod Carruth. No, that guy was Ray an Carruth. Asshole.
Now, the actual Rod Carruth, I think, had a heart attack a couple days ago.
Did he?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a report
that's
about
our,
it.
That's our Lou's buddy. It's Lou's buddy, yeah. What did I do with that picture he gave me?
Isn't Rod Carruth like one of the nicest guys ever?
Yeah, yes.
Rod Carruth.
But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carruth. He converted.
But each of the three stooges, that's the greatest line.
Yeah, he had a heart episode while on the golf course.
Huh.
Dave says, I hope
Fox
he fights.
Didn't tell anybody about it, though.
But Tim did. before he putted on 18.
Mrs. Carew, guess what?
Oh, God.
Dave says, I hope Greg Hardy fights Ronda Rousey and she beats his ass. That's a fight I would pay to see.
Yeah, she picks on
you
Floyd
would pay
Mayweather.
To see Ronda Rousey floss her teeth.
If that fight happens, it's I will true. Personally buy Tim's front row seat so he could watch it for himself.
And Derek says, Hardy's outburst was completely inappropriate, not aligned, past history of anger issues, worthy of being cut on the spot. The only reason he's got a job is because it's Jerry freaking Jones. What a jag off of the week. Greg Hardy wins it today. It really was good voting. Guy, game to watch tonight. Well, two games, World Series and the Penguins, right?
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow night we got Pitt and the Penguins, so it's a good couple of days here. I'm conflicted with these Penguins. I mean, 4 out of 5 is a nice stretch at any time, but I think there's a lot of truth in what Rob says. I don't know that it's as bleak as impossible to turn around or fix or get something going, but I said basically the same thing. You know, he used the word hollow, and I used the word just stale.
What about my half the new, half the forwards are new?
I think there's something to be said of that. You can't have 11 new guys and not, expect it to take a little while. But you would also think, particularly a guy like Kessel and Crosby, that seemed like a match made in heaven. A guy with his shot and a guy with Crosby's setup abilities, you would have thought that would have clicked more. That's a disappointment to me and not something that should have taken a month to get going.
See you tomorrow, guy. We will have much to kick around after tonight's Caps game.
Okie doke.
10 a.m. sharp, Trib Live Radio in the noon hour, brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta at ilovegiovannis.com, 412-281-7060. Fast delivery, free delivery. Calzones that are named after Josh Taylor now because he wolfs them in record time.
That would be like a lifetime achievement for me if I had a calzone named after me.
The Taylor Calzone?
It would have to have bacon.
This has got to be a hoax.
And not the cancer-causing bacon either.
Hold on, are we going to a break?
Yeah, we got Jason Mackey checking in from D.C. in the Penn State here in a moment. But, yeah, what's up?
Okay, I can clear up this Breaking Bad thing when we come back.
There is a Season 6, or it's a hoax?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. But
we'll clear it up next.
Okay, all right.
Jason Mackey with some Penn's updates on the way in the College Football Show in 20 minutes with some Pitt preview with Jerry DePaul. That's coming up.
Game faces every day at Goodrich and Geist, pursuing justice for real people. Online at GoodrichandGeist.com. Injured? Do you have a case? Call Goodrich and Geist at 412-766-1455. Goodrich and Geist, located at 3634 California Avenue in Pittsburgh. Goodrich and Geist, attorneys at law, online at GoodrichandGeist.com.